If you've ever had a hankering to see a couple of proper English gents strip down to the skivvies and perform gravity-defying acrobatics, or a lady sword swallower who can make a table leg disappear down her throat, or a magician who finds red hankies in some very surprising places, well, Ma Soirée is the show for you. It's a unique mix of circus acts, comedy, and cabaret that's now playing at the Union Square Theater at 100 East 17th Street. And I'm very pleased to welcome La Soirée's host and creative producer, Brett Haylock, to our show, along with two of its performers, Ursula Martinez and Le Gâteau Chocolat.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Brett, can you talk about the history of the show? Didn't La Soirée grow out of an earlier show called Le Clique that began at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2004?
Yeah, exactly. This little show was created, regardless of whatever it was called. It was created back in sort of 2004, and it was a midnight alternative. Of course, Edinburgh being the biggest arts festival in the world, and on any evening there's something like 6,500 shows vying for your attention.
But this is part of the Fringe Festival.
This is part of the Fringe Festival. This show was born out of a very, very beautiful Spiegel tent. It's called the famous Spiegel tent, an antique Belgian mirror tent. And so this show was kind of created as a house show for that venue, and something ignited on that first day.
Would you call it a kind of a British thing, something that grows out of British music hall and vaudeville traditions?
I'm Australian. I grew up in Australia, a long way away from the London musical scene.
Well, all three of you have British connections, but none of you are fully British.
Correct. And I don't think the show is fully British either. Sure. I think it's got a British sense of humour in it, and maybe there's an Australian irreverence in there as well. I mean, it's heavily influenced by a number of...
Well, it grows out of some old traditions, and yet it speaks very much to young, hip audiences.
Yeah, I think it's just it's a contemporary variety show, and variety is a very old formula. We haven't invented anything new. We just put a load of acts together, curate them in the best possible way, and... the acts have a kind of contemporary feel, but the formula is old-fashioned.
Well, when I was a kid, my parents used to take me to the palace to see vaudeville, variety shows. And this show has jugglers, magicians, sword swallowers, acrobats, but it is not for children. In fact, your website warns, leave the kids at home. Although I thought the raciness is always balanced by humor, so that gives it an almost wholesome cast. Was that your intention?
Certainly Ursula Martinez, who does a very kind of infamous act with a red hanky within the show.
It's a combination magic act and striptease.
Yes, it combines magic and striptease, yes. And
Ursula was one of the originating members in that first ever show. So back from its origins, we knew the direction we were heading down, and we knew that with female nudity in the show would distinctly place us as a circus that's not suitable for families.
And Ursula, while you're stripping, you make a red handkerchief disappear and reappear as you eliminate any clothing that you might be able to hide things in. I won't give away where that hanky comes from at the end of the act.
At the end, it appears from a truly magical place.
How did you come up with that particular blend, stripping and magic? Did you start off as a magician?
No, I'm neither a magician nor a stripper. I know one trick, and it's what you do with it.
Well, you also play guitar.
Yeah, I do. That's another act that I do that's a fusion of Englishness and Spanishness, which is sort of my heritage. The Magic Striptease act was just born out of late-night drunken shenanigans with friends.
Your act includes a lesson in Spanish slang. Do you moonlight as a language teacher?
No, but I have been a language teacher, and I have a French degree, and I'm fluent in Spanish and English, so all those things. You know, everything, well, as an artist, a cabaret artist, when you make work, you'd be surprised at where some of the influences come from for your acts.
Gâteau, or should I call you Monsieur Chocolat?
Yes, either way.
I understand you go by the stage name because you have a straight job as a lawyer.
Yes, well, I study law. I'm thankful I've never had to use my degree, but Le Gâteau Chocolat, the name is actually derivative of the operatic or musical directive, Le Gâteau Singing, which means smooth. It would have been Le Gâteau Chocolat or Pam, so I thought Le Gâteau Chocolat was a little bit more exotic.
You like calling yourself chocolate cake.
Yes, absolutely. So it would be the chocolate cake, or I think the French. The French is kind of more exotic, really.
How did you get into performing? Lawyers do perform in a way.
Yes, they do. I think if you were to kind of try and plot how to get from law to here, if I were told to tell you this, you know, when I started my law degree in 2000, it'd be laughable. So,
well, starting in Nigeria,
Lagos. Starting in Nigeria with parents who want you to have one of the three professions, which is being a lawyer, engineer, or a doctor. I went for lawyer, ended up getting the degree, and somehow ended up in skin tight lycra, and now in a circus in New York. So there is no kind of logical plotting to get here. You don't train to be a lycra clad opera singer.
Have your parents seen your act?
No.
Well, could you describe it for us? Because you have a wide repertoire.
Yes, I do. So I opened the show with Nessun Dorma, and I think the show is very much about subverting the expected. It's like, as it's an old formula, but we're doing things that you might not have seen before. So Nessun Dorma is traditionally a tenor aria. I'm a bass, so I sing it in my register. And the first thing they see is just the image of me, not actually, and then I turn around and then they realize that I'm in drag, that I'm bearded, that I'm black, and then all those
with
things
a
with a blonde wig. So that it was just kind of keep on, yeah.
Spandex,
you know, like skin tight sequin lycra, and then I come out in act two and I'm wearing a different lycra outfit, and then I interact with the audience. So it's very much about subverting what they expect, because here in New York, they have no inkling. They bought a ticket, but they don't know what they're actually going to see.
Did you design those costumes?
I did. Most of the costumes, I kind of have different machinations as to what I want to wear, and then someone goes, you can't actually do that.
Of course, Ursula, God designed your costume. Brett, how do you choose acts for this show?
That's the million-dollar question, really. I mean, what happens over the course of the 2 hours that you're with, I think that each one of those performers completely endears themselves to an audience. And so it's that connection with the audience. And so whether we borrow from the circus, the cabaret, the vaudeville variety, burlesque world, and kind of mash it all together, what is clear is that, I guess, firstly, the skills probably come secondary. It's personality and character that comes first, and almost a lot of the artists in La Soirée kind of almost dismiss the high skills that are demonstrated on this tiny stage.
Well, it's also a willingness to show some skin.
Yeah.
Although this is not a straight burlesque show.
No, it's not. It's far from that. I mean, what happens is that there's a constant connection and play between performers on stage and the audience. You cannot
escape it. You can't, because the stage is really, really small.
Yeah, and we are so than
and you're
table.
In the round.
Absolutely. And the proximity to the audience is so important. They smell you, they feel you. Like, within 30 seconds of starting the show, I've got my hand on someone's face, and I'm very much about assaulting all the senses, so they can see me, smell me, feel me, you know.
People shouldn't be scared.
No, they should, no. Not at all, but it's very much interactive.
The original skill, Le Clique, won an Olivier Award in London, and you've been touring with it ever since. How much has it changed?
The spirit of the show has remained, you know, exactly the same as it was way back when it was created. We performed here in New York City under the name of Absinthe in 2006 downtown.
There's a few acts that are still in the show from then. Some change, but
you were in that.
Yeah, I was. Yeah,
were you?
I was. No, I'm kind of the baby of the group. I joined in 2009, I think, or eight. 2009, Brett invited me to come and audition to be in the show, and you just do a performance and you see how you work with the audience. So it's not an audition to test your skill, it's an audition to test your connection with the people who are buying tickets.
So, well, yeah. We should talk about some of the other acts. The English Gents are a team of acrobats who begin their act dressed in pinstripe suits and bowler hats and then strip down to the Union Jack briefs while performing amazing feats of balance. And they really are expert acrobats.
Yes, they are. And again, it's this character, this really great character that comes through. So it's got a lot more depth to it than just, a standard hand-to-hand act.
Well, we get to see their muscles.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they have the muscles that only turn up a men's health magazine or like the Ken doll. You know, you look at it and go, that's impossible, but that's actually how they look in real life.
I remember Jenna once said, they have muscles in places that I didn't even know there were places.
Yeah, yes.
And then there's Mario, Queen of the Circus, who juggles while lip-syncing to Queen's hits. He also does an audience participation act with a unicycle that I saw him do in Washington Square a few years ago.
Okay.
And he was arrested there, wasn't he? Did you know that?
He was. It's a great story. But I think it was down in Union Square. Where, yeah,
juggling started, is not illegal.
He honed his skills on the street and his connection with an audience. And yes, that was in Union Square. And then it's about 5 years later, he returns to Union Square but plays under a roof.
I would also be arrested if I did my act in the opening.
Well, you more than he, don't you think? Misbehave is a sword swallower who performs some pretty shocking feats, like swallowing a whole table leg.
Yeah, she's an amazing character. She kind of just weaves through the show, if you like.
How do you learn to swallow a whole table leg?
I think she said she started at 15, and it's just something. She's self-taught as well.
She read a book about sword swallowing, and it just it ignited her imagination. It's something that she wanted to do, and then it's trial and error. I think you start with balloons.
Yeah, and so now she's self-taught, which is absolutely ridiculous. Sometimes I sit down and we go into conversations as to how you came up with the act. And, you know, some of the boys and some of the girls have been to circus school, but I don't know, there's no school for what Ursula does or what I do, you know, there is, but it's all, we just kind of make it up. It's just kind of something you're born with, really.
Well, you also have a cabaret singer named Meow Meow, a hula hoop virtuoso, an aerialist who performs in skin-tight wet jeans. He starts out in a bathtub. How much does the lineup change?
We keep changing it. We've got a number of sort of local guests have joined the show over the last few weeks, and we continue to do. We're rushing from here down to the theatre now to take another local act into the show. So it does constantly change, and I guess then we introduce new characters who are going to stay in for probably about 5 or 6 weeks.
Does your act remain constant no matter where you're performing it?
Yes. Yes, it does. I mean, you'll always make some adjustments on the night if an audience seem a little delicate. You can just bring it back. If an audience seem up for it, then you just push it out. So you just kind of like tweak the levels.
Absolutely.
The same for me.
So we've got like the teddy bear Legato chocolate that goes around holding people's hands and hugging them, or you've got the other version, which it's up to the audience, really. They control it.
And I assume that audiences all over the world are pretty much the same in the way they respond.
They are. New York audiences are particularly generous. It's been great. We've been open now a couple of months. Yeah. We've really found our audience down there at Union Square Theatre.
And how long are you going to be at the Union Square?
That's the big question. I mean, you know, it's a limited engagement, but we don't have an end date. We've had a fantastic couple of months, and it looks like we're going to be here through the winter, at the very least. The response has been amazing.
Yeah.
The Union Square Theatre is at 100 East 17th Street. And my great thanks to Brett Haylock and Ursula Martinez and Le Gâteau Chocolat.
Thank you very much for being on our show today. Thank you for having us.
And this is radio. You can perform your act here and nobody will know.